him. I mean, I've never met him before. So.
In a cool way.
As in like dirty hippie or.
Smells like man.
Smells like man.
No, don't we
say that like
the
bad thing.
No, it's a good thing.
This is the Freedom Fiend broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 degrees Kelvin to keep a sinful statism out of your
head.
Is
That's
it working?
Hot.
Can you feel it?
Are you
is it working, Michael and Diana?
I can feel the spirit of the fiend.
Yeah.
Lord, yes.
Yeehaw.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as always, the Bipcot is covered by the Freedom Fiends. Yes, it's going to be one of those nights.
Bipcot is connected to the Freedom Bone.
There you go. Learn more at Bipcot.org.
Bipcot's connected to the Freedom Bone. The Freedom Bone's connected to
the... We're going to have a musical evening.
Yeah,
Diana will be leading the way.
Yeah, the kitty song. I really feel like I've sung the kitty song on here before, but
I haven't heard it on the air before, so you need to do it right now. Right
now.
Okay. Right
now.
All right, so this is a kitty song I made up when after I first got my little cat Henrietta, and I've had her for a really long time now. But I don't know. Everything was kitty to me back then. It's like this when I started meowing and everything. And so here's
before
the song.
You met us. Were you meowing before you met us?
Wow. Heck yeah. I think I was the one that brought the meowing in. Nice. No, it was actually you and me, Michael. I think we both like started meowing at each other. It was like we knew we were kindred spirits at that point. So anyway, it goes, meow, kitty, kitty, meow, meow. Meow, kitty, kitty, meow, meow. Kitty, kitty, meow, meow. Kitty, kitty, meow, meow. Meow, kitty, kitty, meow, meow. Meow, kitty, kitty, meow, meow. No one's
beautiful.
Laughing.
I was trying to laugh. It was beautiful. I think Michael left. I think he just set you up again just to make you sing that song.
No. I like it. I was checking stuff out, seeing how he's doing.
Curter, curter, meow, meow.
Humans. Humans and their foibles.
Do you have any numbers you'd like to...
I like that. I like that word, foibles.
It's not a word that's often used.
Mm-mm.
Because I'm old. It's an old people word.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah.
Objectively.
What's up, Jeremy? Tell us about your day.
My day? Well, my day involved a lot of work with the computer, which I hate ever so much. You know, my kids were here for part of the day, but I had a lot of stuff to do, editing-wise, and actually getting work done. It's that time to do invoicing.
Turn down 1 dB, Jeremy.
More? Oh, my dear. Oh, geez.
Yeah. Just a titch.
I'm always just way too loud.
Yeah.
Again, even when I leave it set from the last time, I'm still too loud, apparently. I can't help it. Maybe it was the coffee. I had my coffee a little later than I usually do.
Coffee. So.
Yeah.
And my coffee.
Coffee. Coffee. Coffee. Is that how you say it in Long Island?
I guess
Long Island.
I guess I don't have that much of an accent. Yeah. My aunt, one of my aunts, had that. She actually said that Long Island, and I was like, oh, I would shudder every time she said. As I was growing up, every time she
I
said,
I love that accent. I love like any New York accent.
Oh, it's so
basically.
Obnoxious. Oh, come on, the New York accent. Listen, as somebody who was born in New York and has spent more than half of his life here, I am offended by that statement because New York accents are horrible.
They're all never the same too. Like all the East Coast accents are kind of the same. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's a little difference between Boston and Brooklyn.
Oh, no.
Connecticut.
Quite a bit of difference.
They all kind of sound like retarded people to me.
Well, okay. Boston, New York City, Philly, to some extent, maybe there's some similarities in the stupid.
Can you imitate it for me?
I can't really do it.
Philly, and I don't really remember an accent.
I'm not good with accents and stuff.
I know they say
mine
yo a lot. Philly's first place. I think that's where they invented saying yo.
That's quite possible.
Oh, yeah, because that's like Rocky. Yo, Adrian.
Yeah, but like people were saying yo in my boarding school in like 19, I don't know, what year was that? 78, something like that.
Yeah.
That was before
I was
Rocky,
1 year old. I have no idea.
No, Rocky, the first Rocky came out in 77.
Yeah, Rocky Rocky came out the year I was born.
I never heard them mention Rocky, and they were always saying yo. I'm pretty sure yo was a Philly thing.
Yeah.
I think Rocky said it because it was a Philly
thing. A Philly thing. Yeah.
Hey, yeah. You know what I realized about my biopsy last week that came and gone, and we didn't talk much about it, about how I thought I had cancer.
And it was good news, though, right?
Yeah, very good news.
We're all happy about that.
I am happy about that. So, and I'm sleeping now.
Was it like a thyroid biopsy?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. You ever have one?
No.
You know what I realized? Like, so most medical procedures that happen, you know, without staying overnight in the hospital, a lot of them would be assault. Or sexual assault if they weren't. Do you ever have blood in your semen? No. Okay, let's talk about that later.
much later, maybe. God. I don't know if that's
not a problem. It's all good. All right,
anymore? Or
I can't say that I've
right
ever
now?
Had blood in my semen.
Well, no.
I'm very glad to hear that.
It's gone. It's better. You know, this is the kind of show where we talk about that kind of thing. It's actually because
organ recital.
One of the weird things that the Pregnizone does is reduces by far the volume of your, let's say, jubilation when you. To the point where it was down to like a drop for like almost 2 years from being on a year and a half at least for being on lots of prednisone and I'm weaning down. I'm down to like 3.5 milligrams a day. In a couple of days, I'm going down to 3 milligrams a day, which will be 1/10 of what I was on.
Wow. Wow.
And all of a sudden, like yesterday, I had one that was like. Normal amount, but it had like little streaks of blood in it. And I was flipped out and I looked it up and then today I had one that was normal volumetrically and had like barely any in it. And it's not as scary as it sounds and it's gone away. So it's like, it's basically just, you know, it was
lack of use.
Yeah. Well, not lack of use.
Although the ducts.
The ducts had like the quack.
It was kind of all built up or something.
Yeah,
like
man. Well, I mean, it, you know, I was using it and a little bit was, you know, it was like a teardrop amount. And now it's like, you know, 11 spoonful. So we're all. What was the other band? 10 cc. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Are the names of those bands actually references to like?
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
Jubilation in the average man's jubilate.
Goodness gracious! I had no idea. 10 cc and loving. Oh wow.
Yeah. And Steely Dan is actually a dirty reference too.
Is it really?
Really?
Yeah, it's a reference to a marital aid in a book by some lady had a friend, shall we say, a mechanical low tech friend in her sophomore.
A quote unquote friend.
Yes. She called it Steely Dan. It was in a book by who's the old guy that shot lots of dope in Burroughs?
You're gonna have to narrow that down.
Selby, I think. Yeah. Burroughs. The other old guy who shot lots of dope and was a writer. Yeah, Burroughs. Yeah, he was one of his books.
I'm going to have to ask my uncle if he knows that. His Steely Band was like his favorite band for like ever.
Yeah.
He probably doesn't because he's also.
We're talking about my organ recital.
Okay.
So I was thinking about this thing about how most medical procedures would be assault or sexual assault if performed, you know, without permission.
Yeah, I agree. I was thinking about that earlier.
I was thinking about my biopsy where they stuck a large gauge needle in my throat, jammed it in and out about 10 times and then pulled it out and then did it again with another one. That would be attempted murder.
Yeah.
It would just be assault. It was, I think my voice is still scratchy from it. I was, I don't know, man. It kind of put my throat into shock or something.
Yeah.
My throat's a puss.
Did they give you a local anesthetic for that?
Oh,
or
local
anything?
Anesthetic. Yeah.
Yeah. No, okay.
No pill drugs or nothing. Though.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank goodness. God. Ordinarily, that must really hurt.
Well, yeah, I was going to say.
That would still be attempted murder.
Yeah, but I was going to say, is that necessarily your throat being a puss-puss or just a natural reaction to being stabbed in the throat repeatedly?
I know that when I was mugged in New York City when I was recording my album, my bomb album, Hate Fed Love, for Warner Brothers, I think highly of them. I got mugged, buying dope on the street, and got a knife to my throat. I wasn't very good at singing for the day or two after that. We just did guitar overdubs instead because my throat was like impotent or something from having a knife to it, you know, which makes me sound wimpy. But you have a greasy little sweaty desperate Puerto Rican hold a knife to your throat and see if you can sing the next day.
Wow. Yeah. I can't sing now, but so somehow it might be an improvement for me. I don't know. Maybe fear brings the song out of me. I don't know.
Michael, I'm always impressed by your, you know, ability to kind of continue on despite like some pretty serious stuff that happens to you. So
I am a modern day. I am a modern day Job. It's true.
I don't know what that is.
School children everywhere.
You think you got it bad? Look at this guy.
So people have been yelling that we need to make a Fiends app for iPhone. And I looked into it tonight and I started doing it. And I was just like, nope, not going to happen. Because the interfaces for authoring said app are more expensive than for Android. I already paid for it for Android. But unless people use iPhone, and then it's $99 per year for an account on iTunes to upload apps to be considered. No guarantee. So basically,
that's crazy.
I'd be out $200 per year to even attempt to get one of these done. So here's my suggestion for the three Fiends fans that have iPhones and not Android phone. Go to Walmart.
And Diana.
Yeah, talking to you, Diana.
And
Maureen. Go spend $10 or $20 at Walmart for a burner Android phone that can use apps and just load it on there, man.
Nicole has an iPhone too.
Call it your Fiend phone.
Well, there you go.
Nicole has an iPhone too. Nicole's a huge Fiend fan. I love Nicole.
I know. Yeah. Well, she should buy a $20 burner phone at Walmart. I don't know what they're called, but I know that they make some. You know what
I'm not exactly sure, but it's like, what if you?
Well, I have no idea. I think that's what I call them, burners.
What
I don't know.
What if
you did it? What if you did it and charged for it? Charged for the app? I'd be willing to pay for it.
So much work.
Yeah.
I don't want to charge people for apps.
Can anybody make an app? Isn't the original one BipCotted? Figure it out.
Anybody
people.
Can do it. There you go. Make one, somebody.
Do it now. You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
So on your iPhone, you listen to the Fiends there, Diana?
Like on the, on the radio? Only if I have, like right now, only if I have LRN FM on there.
Now, how do you listen to the podcast on there?
Oh, through iTunes.
And it works?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when my podcasting thing works, which it doesn't.
Podcasting thing.
It's just the standard Apple podcast app that I've had issues with for quite a while now.
Yeah. Apple sucks.
Yay, Apple.
Apple sucks. You know what? I like what the creator of Linux said about the creator of Apple. He said that Steve Jobs made jail cool. Because Apple tries to keep you in their own little walled garden. All right. So speaking of jail, let's talk about marijuana. Not pot.
Cannabis.
U.S. Hemp farms. Not even cannabis. U.S. hemp farm.
It is cannabis.
Take root under state pilot programs. Oh, thank you, government. As if
finally.
I know. People are like, oh, the government's letting us. Yeah. Government's so square. Government's really, really, really square. You know, the new, did you guys see I updated the Fiends app to use the Fiends app, to install the Fiends app? You know, you usually have to click on a bunch of text goes by on an app and you have to click accept or decline. On this, it says, agree or we will make fun of you. not for use by governments or government agents. They are big, square, dum-dum heads. You have to hit accept.
Well, I would have to reinstall to see that, but that's pretty funny.
It's worth reinstalling to see it, I think.
Well, I guess I won't get to see it at all.
Well, you know, if you got an Android, you could.
Because you're stuck in
Apple jail.
Apple jail. That sounds fun. Apple jail. Where all you get to eat is apples.
Well, it depends on the apples. Tiresome. As long as they're not just like Red Delicious, then I think I might be okay with that.
Did you guys see this picture of me at 12 that I posted on Facebook?
Yes, it was very cute.
Someone said,
"I didn't see it, Diana." I didn't see it. But I've told you before. I've told you before was it like your school picture or something like that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that picture looks just like my boyfriend. I think from like the fifth grade or something.
Aw. Somebody said it looks like the kid that would put a cherry bomb in your mailbox.
Yeah, I like those kind. Those are the kind of boys I liked. So.
And then Lou Fien said, "I look like a Dennis the Menace kind of kid."
Totally.
Yeah. All right. So, hemp. You guys talk about hemp. I don't even care. I know it can save the world. I don't care. Go ahead and read about it.
Well, okay. So on the AP News Archive, there's New York's first legal hemp farm in decades is taking root under state pilot programs. Isn't that special?
You know, my dad, as a farmer, planted hemp during World War II. Here, check this out. This is how statist my dad is. My dad is so statist. What is that? Your mom is so statist, she makes you get a permit to build a treehouse. Was that it?
Yeah.
She calls the police or lemonade.
Or use Legos, one of the two.
Oh, or use Legos, yeah. During World War II, my dad was upset that he didn't get to go fight over in Europe because the government...
He didn't get to kill those krauts?
Right, because the government made him stay home because he was a cow farmer, because he had milk cows, and he had to make milk to feed the troops. So basically,
you must make milk for the troops.
Yeah, like basically that's fascism. You know, fascism is literally when government takes control of private industry, allows you to continue to operate it privately if they want you to.
Right.
Can tell you where it has to go, what to do with it, and how much you'll be paid for it. Yeah, so he didn't get to go lose a leg fighting Hitler. He got to stay home, and he celebrated his 95th birthday the other day. Hey, aww. You know what? This weekend, DJ and I celebrated our 10th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
I'm not even going to say what day it was. It was sometime on this three-day weekend here, but... Mm-hmm.
Sounds like you had some jubilation going on.
We had some jubilation.
Whoa. Yep.
Whoa. Can you say that on the...
Yeah.
11 like spoonful.
Yeah, but I don't say
I'm
going to
have nightmares about cutlery.
Cutlery and blood.
Spoons.
Dogs.
A spoon's not cutlery. It's just a utensil.
Yeah. Spork is cutlery.
Well, if it has a knife edge on it.
Are there any metal sporks? I want a metal. That'd be a good name for a band. Metal spork.
Metal spork.
Metal spork.
I'm going to learn how to play an instrument just to start that band.
One time me and some friends.
Punk rock tradition, we're going to put out one album and then break up.
I think it should be kazoo based.
Absolutely. I could not agree more.
I started a band that was one off one time. Like we were playing and we started playing really slow and really heavy, and I pressed record on a cassette player and we decided the band was called Brick. And this is when I was in a band that was could play club.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs by sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
Fiendbot 3000.
Fiend phone.
Bipcot no gov.
Bad audio is a hate crime.
A Freedom Fiends worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch. Now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
Hey, this is Squisklar Squigelps from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
That's right.
All over your radio. It's 2011. Now, come on, kids.
Don't touch that radio dial. It's got jubilation on it.
Now, let's get back to the show before people start moshing in anger instead of in jubilation. That's from King of the Hill. When Bobby joins a punk rock Christian skater.
Oh yeah, that was group. So good. I loved that episode. Yep.
That was great.
Yeah.
So my dad grew hemp in World War II because Uncle Sam told him to.
Thank you for your service, sir.
That rhymed.
Thank you for your service. Yeah, it did. So everybody right now, stop what you're doing, pull over your cars.
So I'm about to ruin the image. Oh, never mind, sorry. There's a line from a song you said that I just riffed on. Never mind. Continue on.
Let's hear
The Humpty Dance?
I don't know what that is. So
do the Humpty Hump. Do the Humpty
Thank you. Thank you, Diane.
Is that Digital Underground?
Yes, it is.
See?
There you go.
I don't know old school.
You're not totally unhip.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't
you're
know.
You're old, but you're still hip.
I don't know the stuff Nima's listening to this week, but I know, you know, I know what.
I don't know the stuff that Nima's listening to this week, so I don't. That's not really a good gauge for me.
I know about Sex Packets by Digital Underground.
There you go.
You know who the hype man was in Digital Underground, right? The guy with the clock around his neck. Flavor Flav.
That's Flavor Flav was in Digital Underground? But, really? Well, I didn't know that. Enemy.
What?
Huh?
What? Yeah. Yeah. You didn't know that?
I thought Digital Underground, though, came after Public Enemy. No. Yeah.
They were out around the same time.
Oh, okay. But, I didn't know he was, like...
I was not aware of that.
Both things, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder what he's up to these days, Flava Flav.
Crack.
Yeah, didn't he have a show on MTV for a while?
Yes, he did. I actually watched it.
Of course you did.
Maybe it wasn't Digital Underground. What was his...
He was from Public Enemy, wasn't he?
He was in Public Enemy, yeah. That's what I said. Public Enemy. The hype guy in Digital Underground? Gosh, I don't know.
I don't remember his name. He was just a big guy who wore the fake nose and...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tupac Shakur was in it.
What?
Yep. Tupac Shakur was in Digital Underground. It's true.
All right. Let's see. I'm looking it up
and
right
Humpty
now.
Hump and Shock G.
Yeah. Man. Shock G.
All right. You can check that. You can check my jubilation to see if I'm right.
You might want to wear some gloves while you're checking that jubilation.
So, but pull over your car right now on the Digital Underground Highway and go on the YouTubes and search Hemp for Victory. Yes, Hemp for Victory. It is an industrial film made by the United States federal government during World War II, instructing farmers on how to plant marijuana for hemp, for ropes, for the Navy, basically.
Hadn't they already banned it before then, and then they came out with this? Am I remembering that timeline correctly?
Yeah, it was a temporary wartime. You know, everything's legal in wartime.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, which is why hemp is super cheap and versatile.
Yeah.
Yes, it could be used for so many things.
My square dad, who's 95 years old, who's voted Republican every day of his life, who thinks that Marijuana users should be thrown in prison. Dealers should be killed. And homosexual, he thinks he's progressive because he thinks homosexuals shouldn't be thrown in jail. They should be put in mental institutions to be killed. That guy grew marijuana for the government in World War II at I don't know if it was at gunpoint. I don't know what would have happened if he said no, but he was proud to do it. He was like, yes, sir. How can I help you?
God.
I'll drive up to Buffalo and get the seeds and bring them back to Sherman and plant them. Yep.
Wow.
Oh, so sad.
It's
so
okay.
Sad.
It's daddy.
I know. Well, no, my grandfather would have been the same way, except he actually did. He was over there. And then, you know.
Yeah.
My dad at the time was the same way because he was
fighting the Nazis.
My grandfather was over there fighting the Nazis, I believe.
Good for him.
Yeah. So
my dad's a hardcore liberal, but he would have fought the Nazis too.
He would have fought the Nazis.
Yeah.
Might have been Korea. It might have been my great grandfather. I don't remember. Anyway,
he would have grown hemp if FDR had told him to. All right. So they're growing hemp in marijuana. Hemp in marijuana. They're growing hemp in Jubilation in New York State because the government's telling them to. So read a little bit of this, please, Diana.
So, a lush field of cannabis growing on a secluded hilltop in central New York may look and smell like marijuana, but its myriad uses don't include getting high. What's the point then? New York's first legal hemp farm in decades has taken root under a pilot program that's part of a national resurgence of a plant that's prized for making food, clothing, and shelter, but long banned along with its smokable cousin, which is the dumbest thing in the world to me. It's like, why hemp? Of all things.
Well, you know, I'm not down on hemp.
It's like, yeah, I mean, it's like, what? I mean, why ban hemp though?
It was banned originally in part by people because of people like William Randolph Hearst who wanted it to protect the paper industry.
Because they owned a bunch of forests.
Okay. Yeah.
Somebody posted this today on, I think it was Paul Gordon posted something yesterday or today. Sometime in this 3-day long weekend. It's not really a 3-day weekend, but, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Posted something that I never, I knew, but I'd never really internalized this. He said something like, think about how much government tyranny comes to protect monopolies, is created to protect monopolies. And it's mind-blowing. And it's like,
right.
I started to think about it, and the answer is most.
Yep. You know? Mm-hmm. It is.
Most government tyranny is, even how hard they crack down on meth is to protect the Ritalin trade from the pharmacy, you know, from the pharmaceutical companies. I mean, the same schools that will search your locker and call the police if they find a little bit of crystal meth in your locker are the same schools whose school psychiatrist will like mandate that a kid has to take Ritalin or they can't come back to class.
That makes me sick. You know?
It's the same drug, basically.
Well, you know, that whole Kratom thing, which I think that's kind of, they've backtracked on that.
They've put it on hold temporarily, from what I heard.
Yeah. I mean, they always do that.
They always put stuff on hold when there's a big outcry and then wait till no one's looking and outlaw the thing like they were going to anyway.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just another example of that.
Well, yeah. There was some pharmaceutical companies who had already been working on ways to make a synthetic version of that.
That's what I figured.
Protectionism at work right away, you know.
And they'll and more than likely what they'll do is they'll take it and they'll, you know, they'll synthesize it and actually probably make it more addictive.
Yeah.
Yes. and less in the quality. And overcharge for it. There you go.
Right. Yeah.
So, which is why I'm vehemently against legalization.
Freedom Fiends had an episode about 5 years ago that I, with Nima Vedati and I, before all you weirdos got on here. It was called
Your Weird Friends.
My Weird Friends took his place. Takes a village to replace Nima Vedati.
It takes a village to replace a Nima. Has that ever been a show title? It should be something.
We've said it on the show before. But the show title I'm thinking of is called In Libpair, All Drugs Would Cost 7 cents a Dose. And it was, Libertarian Paradise. And we figured that out. We figured out that pretty much all drugs, recreational and medicinal, would be 7 cents a dose in the absence of government regulatory bodies.
That sounds doable. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, of course, there's people listening saying, but without the FDA, people would die. And I'm like, think about how many times the FDA has recalled something because it killed too many people.
Right. You know? Yeah.
Or,
yep.
You know, lead, or, yeah. Blood in the semen or whatever, you know.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's this one drug, and I can't think of what it is, and I think I'm not exactly sure what it's supposed to treat, but one of the potential side effects is, like, death. Sudden death. It's like that's actually said that.
There's a few of those.
That's a bunch of them. You know what's bizarre, too, is a bunch of medication, one of the side effects is the exact opposite of what it's supposed to do when it's working properly. Like, two of the asthma medicines I'm on that actually do help keep my asthma down, under the rare side effects of those two drugs, other than death, which is the side effect of both of them, one of the side effects is increased asthma attacks.
Oh my God. Well, it's just like the antidepressants. Like, one of the side effects could be increased depression to the point of suicide.
Oh, I've seen that a lot. Always the worst case scenario is this dream where it's going to be, it's going to call. It's like, if you take it for any other reason than the fact that you're depressed already, you may actually end up worse off because then you'll be depressed on top of what your other problems are. Gotta love it.
I had a friend that was on psych meds who had a really interesting theory about that I'd never considered. I've always thought it was, well, people on psych meds kill themselves because suicidal people get prescribed psych meds. That's part of it. And then part of it is that it makes them suicidal. But she had an interesting theory as to why some of them become suicidal based on her experience with them, was that some psych meds kind of dull you to shock, like to the point where, you know, if you were suicidal and actually started like cutting on your arm just to see what would happen, like some people do, and then end up, you know, killing themselves, like as soon a normal person, even a depressed person who's not on medication, as soon as they feel the pain and see some blood, they're gonna go, oh my God, and stop. It's a natural self preservation reaction.
Right.
But if you're on the psych meds, it kind of dulls you to where you go like, oh, pretty colors, sensation, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, because it, you know, it's like produces a flat effect, and it's like you have no, like you tend to like just be kind of devoid of emotion. And so, you know, if they start to cut on themselves, it might be just to feel on something.
On top of everything else, these things promote nihilism. Oh, they are the absolute worst.
Wait a minute. I don't know if nihilism means being devoid of emotion.
That's what it's commonly thought to believe.
It was a joke.
I think it actually means believing there is
nothing
no
matters.
Absolute. No.
Yeah.
No, it's not that nothing matters.
No.
Okay.
It's that there's no absolute morality.
Right,
that's
right.
Nick Hazelton is a nihilist, and he's one of the most upbeat people I know.
Yeah.
And you know, he doesn't go around murdering people, but it's also like, I'm like, so why don't nihilists go around murdering people? And, you know, the general answer I've heard is like, well, because it's not really productive. Which kind of sounds like a sociopath to me.
It doesn't serve.
Yeah. Like in, we were going to talk about that
show.
There's
no utilitarian function here, so.
We're talking about sociopaths. We could segue into talking about the TV show
Bloodline.
Which we just finished watching.
So I'll take a long break then.
You'll what? You'll take a break.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers, and there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
I'm sorry.
We're live.
Vince, you come in.
Oh, hello there. Vince,
you
come in.
Hello there.
There's so much I wanted to say on the air about that guy, but I can't.
What guy?
So good. That guy. The guy in that horrible movie.
Oh.
I have a question. Here, I have one question about the movie Alongside Night. For anyone who's read the book, okay, listen. Mm-hmm. What?
He who shall not be named. Let's just leave it at that.
We're going to talk in the second hour about some logical fallacies, and including some that are uniquely named after him. But remind me for that. That's a good way to get to the logical fallacies. So yeah. It's the second hour. We'll start with that. So real quick,
so stay
if anybody's
tuned.
Actually read the book Alongside Night, which is supposed to be good, and then he made a horrible movie about it. Two things. One is I'm convinced that my theory is true now that his editor quit 4/5 of the way through the filming, because the last fifth of the movie the editing is really bad, and before that it's like kind of okay. And I noticed on IMDb that there's two editors listed, and one's like a guy that sort of has some Hollywood credits barely, mm-hmm. and then the other one is Shulman. So I think the guy quit, like couldn't Shulman. Be it, and Shulman just took over.
Shulman.
So, here's my question though, if anyone's actually read the book, and I know some of our listeners have, I want to know if the result of the actions of the heroes in the book make any more sense than in the movie. Because in the movie, what happens is like they break some people out of a federal jail. They destroy the federal jail. They expose the existence of the federal jail to the underground news. And then it's a libertarian paradise. Like, that wouldn't happen, man. I mean, Glenn Greenwald, who loves the government and wants to fix it, you know, reveals things far worse than that every day.
Right.
And people have been broken out of jails and it didn't change anything.
Well, I think you have to consider that the book was written, I think, in the 70s.
And
so that may have something to do
back then.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. That may have something to do with it. I don't know.
So that cocaine and bell bottoms. I mean,
allegedly. All right. So we want to talk about this. Oh, by the way, I just found a $12.99 phone on Amazon, Samsung Galaxy Centura track phone that will take the Fiends app.
Okay.
It'll take it all night long.
Okay.
Take it good and hard.
If I tweet this, will people go buy it who have Apple phones and are complaining at me because I don't want to spend $200 a year to keep them in the Fiends app?
Yeah,
just get Fiend phone.
Yeah, I don't blame you for that. If you do tweet that, will you, tag me? Is that what it's called on Twitter?
Tagging.
The Twipper?
Yeah.
On the Twipper.
I'll jubilate you with it. All right, so we're going to talk for a few minutes here about this TV show called Bloodline, which is great.
Yep.
However, the ending of it, spoiler alert, the last episode of last season was kind of like my reaction when I finished watching Alongside Night. It was basically, what the hell was that? Did you get that feeling, Diana?
Yeah, I did.
They wrapped it up too quick, and my theory is that they weren't sure if they were going to get picked up for third season. So they had to, like, you know, make it so it would work, so it could go both ways.
Right.
You know, whether it was the ending or got picked up again, because it just left with totally, like, every character had a huge question mark next to what was going to happen. But here's what happened. They did not get renewed. There aren't going to be any more.
Oh, no.
Even though it was very popular, because it cost so much to produce. To produce two seasons of that cost $250 million with a B dollars.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
That's as much as a Star Trek. Or a Star Wars.
Yeah, like what would have been, and you know, I mean, and that was one of the reasons, I don't know if you guys ever watched the show Carnival that came on HBO. It was a great show, and that was one of the reasons why that ended, which was very disappointing to me. It had to do with the production costs. And I wonder if it has anything to do with it being filmed in Florida.
Well, I don't know about that, but
Florida man, it costs a lot of money in taxes to film there because they have to take care of all the Florida men feeding the crystal meth to the alligators in the Walmart parking lot with guns.
But people move movies for that reason all the time. That doesn't seem like that would be that much of a limitation.
I don't know, man.
It would seem that at least half the movies and TV shows are not filmed where they actually are supposed to be.
I mean, I have CSI a beef Miami about American Horror Story for that reason.
You know, CSI Miami's filmed, you know, and there's like 400 episodes of that or something.
Well, right. Yeah.
I'm not saying that Sissy's Basic. Long story. All right, never mind.
Where does she fit in? I'm so confused.
Sissy's Virginia. She lives there. She's in this show. She's in this
She's in the show. She's in the show, and her character. She's very good, but her character. I'm just like. I think I hate her character the worst.
She's in denial.
Because of what she did.
Codependent.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny.
DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers. And there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Yeah, informal.
Yeah,
and we're back.
Is it no true Scotsman a formal one?
I think it's an informal one.
I thought that was an informal one.
What's the difference?
The formal ones have to do with like form, I think, of the argument.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway,
any formal ones on here? I don't get it.
Well, there are formal. Well, you mean on your logical fallacy?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm not sure, but anyway, this is hour two of the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows your use by anyone except governments. Yeah, Gertie. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
O-R-G,
BIPCOT.org. She can't control herself even when somebody else is saying it. I had her on my podcast the other night, and as I was doing the BIPCOT spiel, she broke out laughing and couldn't contain herself.
Orgy
on the mind.
Whoever did the that picture of all of us and did like BIPCOT orgy. That was cute.
I know. That was Travis.
Travis.
Yeah, all those pictures are usually Travis.
Travis is awesome.
I just tweeted, and I will put in the show notes tonight, this $13 Android phone that will run the Fiends app for all you people on iPhones. Yes, I'm suggesting you buy a second phone just for the Freedom Fiends. And why not? You know? Be kind of fun.
I agree. Yeah. Oh, I mean, that way I could actually listen to it on my phone.
Yeah. I mean, if Steve Jobs is going to make it so difficult to get into his little walled jail there, and you guys have your iPhones and that's the choice and you're sticking with it. Yeah. Why don't you buy a burner phone that won't even work as a phone and just use it for the Freedom Fiends to run the Android.
It's my Fiend phone. Yeah.
It'll work.
There you go. That could be your Fiend phone.
Yeah, perfect. It'll be your Fiend phone. You could put a label on it. Get a label maker label. Mm-hmm. It says Fiend phone. Put it on it.
Or just put one of the many stickers.
Yeah.
Fiend stickers. Although, this is a small phone. I used to have this model. It was the first Android device I owned. It was actually, there was some guy that used to make an encrypted voice app that came on a phone, and you had to get the phone, and he was selling this system and it didn't really go anywhere, but it worked.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah. But, you had to buy the bat phone for it. And, he would send you the phone with the app on it and, configured. And it also included going over his network, which he said was more secure than other networks, but it only worked with Wi-Fi. So you had to be like on Wi-Fi, and you had a four-digit number to dial for the other person. It's kind of weird, but Ben Stone and I had him for a while. But, I used to yell at Ben. I used to scream at him sometimes because he would start talking about things over the regular phone that I didn't want to be talking about on phones. And now that I'm looking back, and we had these encrypted phones, and I'm like, why aren't we using those? And I don't know. I just don't care. But, now that I'm thinking about it, like, that might have been the beginning of him, he has, I'm not being mean. I'm just, my friend Ben, he has the early dementia. And I'm thinking back, like, that might have been, I guess I'm apologizing to him over this public thing with thousands of people listening, of saying, like, remember when I used to scream at you for not using the encrypted phone when we should? And, you know, maybe that was that. So it's all good.
Either that or he just didn't care.
I think it's more that, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Having read his book, I think it's the latter.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the reasons I love Ben so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just doesn't give a...
Right. That's patootie.
About the government.
Yeah. He ain't scared.
Yeah. All right. So when's talking about logical fallacies. So logical fallacies are something they used to teach in school, and they don't anymore because they pretty much, the government uses logical fallacies on people all the time, and they don't want people to be able to recognize them.
Right.
I've heard someone say that the worst thing that happened with public school over the past 30 years, I think it was Boston Tea Party who said this, was that, you know, other than their public schools, is that they stopped teaching debate.
Yeah.
You know, they used to have debate teams. And debate teams, you had to be able to back things up instead of just yelling at people and calling them racist or sexist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now, like, pretty much what they teach in college even is just yelling at people, you know. But they and a common thing with debate teams to teach you how to back things up with facts and figures was to pick something you're adamantly opposed to and argue in favor of it, or vice versa.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you learn to argue effectively because, you know, and if people, you don't,
yeah. Well, you can't even argue effectively for something they strongly feel strongly for. Right.
But that is the point of the debate. It's not supposed to be who's right. It's who can effectively argue their position the best.
Mm-hmm. Which is also kind of, I don't know. It's kind of sinister in a way too, but it can be. The thing is, you should know how to do it so you recognize it. Because, you know, when sinister things are used on you, you shouldn't just go, that makes sense. So along with losing teaching people to debate effectively and correctly and, you know, with logic, going along with that in those classes is often where you'd learn about logical fallacies or in English class. And logical fallacies are things that... can someone give a definition? I know them when I see them. It's kind of that thing. It's an incorrect argument in logic and rhetoric.
Yeah. And it undermines the argument's logical validity.
Yeah.
Or logical soundness. So that's basically what it says on Wikipedia.
Well, that's the gist of it. They can either be stumbled upon, like, some people don't honestly realize they're using it for a lot of the same reasons that you were just describing, the fact that nobody knows what to look for.
Yeah.
But it's also they are also the tools of the sophist.
Well, sophist
is defined.
The general definition is somebody who engages in false arguments, you know, basically presenting them as fact in order to you know, submarine their opponent.
Politician.
Basically.
In other words,
So a lot of them qualify.
Probably the three most common. And the funny thing is, a lot of people, once they learn the three most common ones, accuse we'll see them everywhere, especially people they disagree with, and we'll point them out all the time while still using all of them and more themselves, but thinking they don't.
But they're also pointing them out incorrectly a lot of the time, too.
Right, yeah. Right. So, like, I think people like, they get straw man and ad hominem, like, mixed up for some reason. They tend to do that, yeah.
And just ad hominem alone, they get screwed up.
Yeah. Well, straw man and red herring get mixed up a lot, too, and in a way, one is a form of the other.
Yeah, red herring's the overarching one, isn't it? And then straw man falls under it, or is the other way around? I thought it was the other.
Okay, so let's just explain them. I'll explain them from memory, and correct me or expand on these if you can. So the three most common ones, straw man is probably the most common one. Straw man is where you build, it's from, the phrase comes from the fact that they used to do bayonet practice with a straw man, you know, like a scarecrow kind of thing, like just stuff some straw, you know, dead grass, dead whatever, into some pants and shirt and put it together to make a man out of it and hang it up. And soldiers in training, in basic training, would run at it with their rifles and stab it with the bayonet to learn to, stab a. It was a stand-in for an actual person,
right?
You know, a Nazi or a Korean or whatever you'd be killing later. So a straw man argument is a stand-in for the real thing. Like, a really common one is people will say, oh, you libertarians don't want public schools. You hate knowledge and education.
Right, right.
That's a perfect example of a straw man. And that's not what libertarians believe. We do believe generally that public education is a bad idea, but we don't hate education and knowledge. So that's a typical straw man.
Yeah, it's misrepresenting someone's argument
easier thing that looks like it to beat up, and then beating up the other thing and making it look like you've defeated their thing.
Right.
So that's one. Red herring is comes from the fact that they used to, and I think still do, when they're training scent dogs, you know, like bloodhounds that track people or probably drug dogs or whatever. Once they get them well trained, they try to confuse them to see how they'll deal with environmental other smells. So they'll drag a fish. Like, if they're going in a line this way, they'll drag a fish diagonally across the line they're supposed to be going in to see if they go off the other direction. So straw. Mm-hmm. So red herring. Give me an example of red herring, if one of you can. Damn.
I always get that one. I go by the definitions and I forget them right now.
Yeah,
I don't use that one because most people don't even use that one. Most, at least that I come across, the ad hominem.
It's a diversion. Red herring is a deliberate diversion, like trying to it's like it's drawing attention away from the original argument in some way, shape, or form. So, like here on this, looking at this like logically fallacious website, it says an example is one person says, it is morally wrong to cheat on your spouse. Why on earth would you have done that? And then the other person says, what is morality exactly? And then the guy said, it's a code of conduct shared by cultures. But then who creates this cult? So he's created a diversion, essentially.
It's kind of changing the subject in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he derailed. Yeah.
You know, here's an example is the mother says to the kid, it's bedtime. And the kid says, Mom, how do ants feed their babies? And the mother says, don't go here. Close your eyes now. And the kid says, but Mama, do ant babies cry when hungry? Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Wow, my daughter used that a lot.
Straw man, herring, and then ad hominem is just calling the guy a jerk.
Yeah.
No. See, that's where a lot of people get it wrong.
You don't know what an ad hominem is because you're a jerk.
Exactly. It's the reason you're wrong is you're a whatever the name. Plug in whatever name you wish.
Yeah. Like,
right.
You know, just Austin call, you know. Peterson is wrong because he's Austin Peterson.
Well, that might be true, actually.
Well, how about this?
Sure.
an argument with a random person on the internet. Well, you've got to be wrong because you think Austin Peterson's a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an ad hominem. Yeah.
No, that's true. That's a truism. It's like saying, you know, the sky is blue. We'll be back with more. More worms for the hungry little birds. There's a new version of the Fiends app on the Android store. Go get it. If it didn't automatically update, it's fun. It's better. Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends. An invigorating alternative to those other shows.
You already done tweeted it.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateurs, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Wow. A lot of these reviews come from like 3 years ago. That's kind of funny.
Wow. Reviews for what, Diana?
So I posted this...
Never mind.
$13 phone.
That people
run as a Fiend phone, and people are already saying, so why don't you get it on the iTunes store?
Well, maybe they're not listening live, Michael.
They should be.
They should be. I'm not saying
that. Put it this way. If you're not listening to Fiends live, but you're on Facebook right now, you're not someone I would bother making an app for. I'm kidding.
Seriously, man. That, you know what? That's an excellent point. No true Scotsman. No.
If you're not listening right now, you're not a true fiend.
Yeah, well, there you go.
If you're on the internet.
No well, true fiendman.
I'm no true fiendman. Well, I would say, you know, they're probably at work or something, so they can't be listening. But, you know, if they can be messing around on face beef, they could probably be listening.
Yeah, man.
So there's the other really common logical fallacy is no true Scotsman, which is,
It's used quite frequently on the face beefs.
It is.
claiming if you do X, then you can't be part of this group ideology, collective, whatever it is.
Like if you don't love the movie Alongside Night, you're not a true agorist.
Yes.
Right.
That's a really common one, yes.
What's really funny on this on the yourlogicalfallacyis.com, when you click on the no true Scotsman part, yes, it's got like a little thing of the Loch Ness Monster. Yes,
I know. That's funny.
Yeah. No true Lochman? What?
So I've recognized a couple that I want to have people fiend source a name for. So there's this one called Appeal to Authority, which is, you know. the thing is, it's really hard.
Because some expert says that this is so, right. That it is so.
The thing is, though, it's really, I would say, nearly impossible to have a logical conversation or presentation in favor of something without using something that somebody could point to and say that. Like, you know, how do you prove something's true is generally like statistics. And then someone could say, oh, that's appeal to authority, you know?
Well, there's that. No. But then there's also, like, I had an argument one time on Facebook where this woman was saying that she knew better than I did about a certain topic because she had a master's degree.
Oh, I was going to
say that's actually that's a separate one, isn't it? That's like a subcategory of that, appeal to authority. What is
appeal
it?
Appeal to degrees?
No, but it's along. Well, it could be used along those lines. I forget what it was. I saw it before. I'll have to come across it again later. But anyway, it is. It's a separate subset of the appeal to authority.
The two that I want to find a name for. They may already exist as something on some list, but one is appeal to self authority. Which Shulman also uses.
That's what that would be, yeah.
Well, no, but he says his basis of, being able to, like, he's the arbiter of who is agorist.
Well, yeah, that, and also that him being the co-founder of agorism is built upon things that he has written or
Well, that's
said
the other thing.
About what other people have said or for this too. Supposedly
no, there's,
written.
There's another, there's a different logical fallacy, is appeal to circular reasoning, I guess it is, circular citation. There you go.
Well circular reasoning is, or circular logic is used sometimes.
But appeal to, this is a little different. It's like, you know, he says that he is the co-creator of agorism because it says that on Wikipedia, and then you do the maths and do some root around and find out that allegedly or possibly or probably or maybe he put that on Wikipedia. And then even then, the thing that he's referencing on Wikipedia references something he wrote or something on his website. So it's just a big,
right,
you know, solo circle jerk, really.
Well, it's like people saying
solo self-jubilation.
Self-jubilation. Yeah. Okay. So like the, so another example of circular reasoning, which I think is like where people say that the Bible is true because the Bible says it's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or that the Constitution is valid because it says it's valid.
Well, I think that's also, isn't there like an appeal to God? Logical fallacy.
Deities or something possibly. Yeah. I don't know the names of a lot of these.
Because one of the proofs that the There are people who believe that the Constitution is handed down from God.
Right.
Which is a pretty bizarre concept. It's also an appeal to authority because it's, you know, this is good because the founding fathers wrote it. And
right, and the founding fathers were inspired by God. That, I think that's what a lot of people think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's that working out?
Yeah.
We'll be back.
This is what radio sounds like now.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Eat a healthy breakfast so you can run from the cops.
So you can grunt from the cops? What?
Run. You're grunting from the cops, not me.
I'm grunting at the cops.
Pineapple. Yeah.
What?
Wow.
Didn't you do?
Wow. Oh, the guy that I guess, I don't know, man. I thought this guy was a real fiend, but I think he's no true fiend. I said it cost too much money to put this on to make this app and put it on the App Store. And he said lame.
Wow. Oh, this guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, make a donation and then maybe you can say that.
Oh,
that's what I feel about.
Exactly.
People. Yeah,
seriously,
they want their stuff free, and it's lame if they don't get their stuff free.
He says, and then he says, "Well, LRN app is there for easy listening on the iPhone."
Yeah, yeah. LRN app isn't very good, and it crashes a lot. The Fiends app, if you have Android,
ooh, shots fired.
I know. I sent the LRN app to Ian, and he didn't want to play it because he says, "Well, we've already got an LRN app."
Well,
I sent the Fiend app. Yeah. I mean. At. What?
I do like what Jim Jesus said, though. Did you see that?
The guy can whore himself out and get an S7.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true. Jim Jesus knows what's up. Yeah, see, if you're nice to me and you don't say lame and things like that, I actually gave Jim Jesus an Android tablet. So, you know, someone who's... And this is the thing, too. People who are, like, in the jail of Steve Jobs, defend it. Oh, you're lame, dude. You won't do free things for me for my free, my really expensive phone. You're messed up. Yeah, it's stupid. There's a logical fallacy there, I'm sure.
Yeah. Let's see if I can figure out what it is.
The spirit of Jobs. That dead guy. I heard something that makes a lot of sense, too. You know how people always say, like, oh, there's this conspiracy, and, you know, they have the cure for cancer, but they won't let us have it because they want to make money on it. If it was a matter of money, don't you think Steve Jobs could have bought it and used it on himself?
What if he did,
the secret
Michael?
Cure for cancer? What if he did?
Yeah, what if he's still alive?
What if he's hanging out with Elvis, Michael? Have you ever considered that, Michael?
Appeal to insanity. I call that a fallacy. All right.
Appeal to my own delusions.
Go through some of these. Let's see. Straw man, we did.
Yes.
False cause. Presuming that a real or perceived relationship between things means that one is the cause of the other.
Yeah, every like so that correlation is causation. Yeah,
exactly. That's basically what it is, right?
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. And that was popularized by, was it Bush or Cheney who said correlation does not necessarily mean causation when he was talking about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
Remember right. That? Yes. I don't remember that one.
Yeah. That is, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, in that case, it probably was causation.
Slippery slope. And I asserting that if we allow A to happen, then Z will happen. Therefore, A should not happen. Now, I took exception to this as a logical fallacy because this does happen sometimes. It's called camel's nose under the tent. You know, basically, if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. There, we used three cliches in one tenth. But, you know, an example is gun control. You know, like the people who want gun control generally say, oh, we're not trying to keep you from hunting deer with your hunting rifles. We just want to get the illegally possessed handguns off the street. And you're like, well, none of my guns are illegal. So I have some handguns. They're legal. I'm all for that. You know,
well,
like
there's
they get you to say that. And then later, they change what a legal handgun is. So yours are illegal. And then they're like, you voted for this, you know?
Yeah. Well, and there's historical precedent for it too. That particular thing. Like, So.
You can invoke Hitler there. That's another one. That's Goodwin's Law.
Right.
And that's another thing too. Like people always, like I have a problem with people calling Goodwin's Law on you in an argument. Goodwin's Law is... Godwin is the longer an argument goes on in the internet, it will eventually absolutely turn into a discussion of Hitler. Nazis.
Too many Hitlers on the field.
Comparing the other person to Nazis or Hitler. Now here's the thing. Sometimes a comparison to Hitler is apt.
Yeah.
I would say for instance, you know, I was saying about a month ago that this new president of the Philippines is reminding me of Hitler. And then he said the other day, Hitler killed millions of Jews. I will kill millions of drug addicts.
Was it Duarte or whatever his name is? Yeah, he's a crazy guy.
I was talking with someone about this a month ago and someone actually said, Godwin's Law. Is it Goodwin or Godwin?
Well, it's Godwin. Spelled Godwin, but it could be pronounced Goodwin. Yeah.
So he said that as if that was checkmate. Like, because I mentioned Hitler, he won. There's got to be a name for that fallacy.
Oh, let's see.
You know, just because you compare something to Hitler doesn't mean you're wrong, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah, Goodwin. Yeah. All right, what's the next one?
Well, there's the fallacy, which is just because somebody else makes a fallacious claim as part of their argument that their argument is wrong completely because of that.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. Yeah. We were talking about the fact that if somebody makes that even if they use a logical fallacy, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're wrong. And we were just saying that.
I zoned out for a while.
Yeah. So.
Well, I'm horrible with these pronunciations. Tu Kwaku, it's like tit for tat. It's tit for tat, which basically instead of responding to somebody's argument to you, you respond with an argument of your own about them, and you basically turn it into a tit for tat match instead of actually responding to each other.
Right.
Yeah.
That happens a lot.
The thing that Diana mentioned earlier of the Bible's true because it's in the Bible. Because it says so in the Bible, that's begging the question, I believe. The begging the question is the logical fallacy of a circular argument in which the conclusion is included in the premise.
Yeah, I mean, that's a form of circular, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know I don't know. I'm not that great with all of these because there's so many of them.
Burden of proof. This is a good one. Saying the burden of proof lies not with the person making the claim, but with someone who wants to disprove it. That's a really common one. That's a common one that's used by Molyneux fans to waste your time. You know, when you say Molyneux said that people should vote for Trump and they're like, he never said that. Prove it. And then that leads you to fish through, you know, 10,000 hours of video to find where they said it. And if you actually find it, they either aren't around by the time you find it, or they say, well, it doesn't prove anything. That's not an argument. That's a logical fallacy. That's one that Molyneux, I think, invented.
Well, that's one of my favorite tiny little Facebook pages, the Not an Argument Facebook page, which is just somebody who puts out different pictures of Molyneux making crazy faces and arguing with people and just, you know, basically making everything not an argument, coming up with ridiculous arguments to put out against other people.
Yeah.
It's quite comical. did we cover the appeal to emotion?
No, go ahead.
That's actually a very common one too. A very common one like this is the basically for the children thing.
Yeah.
In lieu of an argument, tugging on people's heartstrings to try to convince them to get to agree with you rather than actually
like the picture of Hillary today that I saw in my news feed of her clutching a small black child whose family had been killed by quote unquote gun violence, or someone in his family had been killed.
The super predators.
Politician can what?
There's some like hashtag super predator. Yeah.
She said that, right? About black urban kids a long time ago. She said they're super predators. Right?
Is that something her? Along those lines, yeah.
Yeah. Moving the goalposts. That's one. Now, I got
that's another common one.
Of moving the goalposts. And what is moving the goalposts?
Moving the goalposts is if you make an argument and somebody can't counter it, instead of conceding the point, essentially they pick something else to move on to to say that you're still wrong because of this now, instead of actually saying that I have to accept my defeat there. Then just jump to something else.
That happened a lot with my ex-husband.
I got accused of that
by name.
The
goalposts.
Oh yeah.
Do you want to give an example?
Huh?
I have an example. Oh, okay.
Oh, just like, I mean, just arguments that my ex-husband and I would have, and I would, you know, I felt like I'd pretty much won the argument, and then he would move the goalpost, and he would say, "Well, but what about this?" And yeah.
That's not an example.
Okay, whatever. All right. I can't think of anything specific.
Michael,
it just happened a lot.
Michael?
I have an example.
Go for it.
I have an example. And this is someone using it incorrectly, but it's someone we've talked about before on the show. Was that little weasel from Ottawa, Canada, the guy who said adults who meow. Remember?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So when I'd said on the internet, I'd said, well, Stefan Molyneux backs Trump. And he said, no, he doesn't. Prove it. And I said, I'll bet you $100 he backs Trump. I was kidding. I was speaking facetiously, as people do. And he said, he immediately said, first of all, he did change the goalpost. He said, Molyneux has never told anyone to vote for Trump, which at that point was true. I think he has since then, recently. But even though he's Canadian and supposedly an anarchist. But he moved the goalpost by saying, Molyneux has never told anyone to vote for Trump. And I said, I didn't say that. I said, he backs him. You know, he says there's good things about him. And he said, you're moving the goalposts. You owe me $100. And I went to bed and woke up, and like every hour for 8 hours, he'd sent me increasingly insane Dunning invoices for this $100 he said I owed him. Which is crazy because, you know, in any bar in the world, when you make a bet, it's not a bet until you both shake hands on it, until you both agree on the terms of it and then shake hands on it. That's how bets work.
Yeah. So on
but
this,
he changed the goalpost and then accused me of changing the goalposts.
Yeah. On this site, your logical fallacy is they call it special pleading. Like you move the goalpost
like
or made
legal document.
You move the goalpost or made up an exception when your claim was shown to be false. And it's funny because it goes on to say humans are funny creatures and have a foolish aversion to being wrong.
I don't that much, which is why I don't get in.
I didn't say anything about you.
No, I'm
guilty conscious, Michael.
No, I was actually going to talk about Lisa the last show.
Oh.
I don't know if you're kidding. I can't tell if you're kidding or not, Diana.
I was kidding. I was totally kidding.
Okay. Well, I was going to do some good radio and give some examples, but all right. She's going to say stuff. I guess that's a form of radio. Freedom Fiends.
Saying stuff.
Yeah.
And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
Stop breathing.
Wow, wow, wow.
Stop breathing. Is that breathing loud?
Yeah. It's all that jubilation going
it's
on.
It's all about there. Jubilation, yeah.
Triggered.
Every time I hear somebody say triggered, I always picture that woman in the glasses.
That's what you're supposed to picture. Isn't she the one that, got really upset because people on Facebook made fun of her, and then she made a big stink about it, and it got worse? Isn't that basically the story with most of these people?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's usually what happens.
Yeah.
Schulman!
Yeah. Hello, Schulman.
I would have forgotten his name by now if he wasn't reacting
like he didn't keep on... Yeah, he needs to just chill.
You know, I'm not a bully. It's not like, I don't go after people who I think will react. I go after people that are idiots who need to be gone after and exposed. And he's an idiot because... If you write a bad review of his movie alongside Night on Amazon, which everyone should go watch it for free on YouTube and then go on Amazon and review it however you honestly feel it deserves to be reviewed. If you give it 2 stars or less, he will argue with you on Amazon. He'll post comments and either call you a cop. He'll say, you know, you're obviously on the federal payroll if you're writing such a bad review of my movie.
Or just call you a liar.
Or right. Call you a liar and say, or mm-hmm. say you're wrong, as if there's an objective. I don't even know what the words for this are. If a movie being good or bad can be
objective,
can be provable. Yeah,
right. Whereas right.
I think it cannot usually, but in this case, I think it can, and I think that it can be proven that this movie is horrible.
It's objectively bad.
You think it's objectively great. And then he also uses No True Scotsman and thinks you're not a real agorist
libertarian, or libertarian. Or
there was an NRA member. There was one guy who said, I'm an NRA member and blah, blah, blah. And he said, you can't be a real NRA member if you don't love this movie.
Yeah, every time now somebody says that they talk about they're going to practice agorism or that they're an agorist or something, I'm like, you better check with Schulman to make sure that that's actually true.
Yeah, he can sell agorist licenses if he wants to make some money. Not be broke.
There you go. You broke. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, anyway. So we had some good news, some redemption in the third.
Yeah.
What do we got?
Yeah. We have got an article from the HuffPo. Dubious
stellar journalism.
Yeah. So apparently dubious disorderly conduct arrests plummet as the public turns cameras on cops. So they show a massive drop in arrests for charges often abused by the police. For arrests for disorderly conduct, what critics would call contempt of cop, because they tend to use it to arrest people who disrespect their authority. So those types of arrests.
Respect my authority.
So apparently those types of arrests have plummeted just because people have turned their cameras on them. So, which, you know, that in and of itself is a good thing.
Yeah.
As Martha Stewart would say, it's a good thing.
It's a good thing, but notice it's the citizens or the public turning the camera on the cops. It's not the cops who the money that's actually been spent in some of the cities where the people have been extorted even more to pay for these cameras that were supposed to be the savior with to put them on the cops and stuff. The people
where don't work
when right. that are either turned off or broken or malfunctioned right. or in the shop for repairs. Yeah.
Or they raise the hood of their car to block the dash cam and like saying that they are just like their car overheated. And they're letting it cool off. Yeah, in Danville, Virginia. Yeah. That happened. Yeah.
You know, that's a...
allegedly, or can we say that?
Allegedly.
There was an article. Yeah, allegedly. So.
Allegedly, there was an article.
Well, there definitely was an article.
I know. You know, that's a thing about crowdsourcing things, is if there's something that is good that people want, people will spend their own money to do it. You don't need the government to steal money to do it wrong. You know, people will spend their own money to do it right. People will have their phones and have them charged and have them ready and be filming the cops when the cops do anything. You don't need to have the cops filming with taxpayer-funded cameras.
Absolutely.
That conveniently don't work.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
And you want to talk, you know, and plus, I mean, eyewitness testimony is always supposed to be, you know, so...
So nothing's changed.
Erratic. But here you go. You have a bunch of people who you know, how many people are taking a video of the same event most of the time, you know? Usually at least five.
Yeah.
You know, well,
they're doing, they're actually hiring a bunch more cops everywhere. That's the reaction to all these cops murdering people videos.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
More cops.
Yeah. Yeah.
Try to hide the problem, I guess. I don't know.
And they're lowering the bar of who they'll hire for a cop now because it's getting harder because no cops want to do it.
Worms.
No decent people want to do it.
Is Mike there? Where's Mike? Free app for
your Android, hey, Mike. Phone, tablet, phablet, or other.
Well, now from the Google Play Store. I wonder if he's dead. Maybe he was huffing some jankum in the bathroom when he passed out and bumped his head.
Mike, did you get some bad kratom? Did you get some bad kratom, Mike?
You don't know what jankum is, Diana?
Jankum? No.